Welcome back to Experable. I'm your host, Kruti Mehra, and in this show, we learn from the success and struggles of people we admire and dive deep into concepts that help us expand the possibilities available to us so we can freely, boldly design the life we desire, discover the depth and breadth of our capabilities, access the wisdom available in the world around us, and even on really bad days, love what we see in the mirror. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to Experable. I took a little break from podcasting, but I am back now and I've got some really, really amazing conversations lined up for you. Today's episode is a solo one, and before we dive in, I want to share with you a few updates. The first one is about my mini course, Conscious Courage, which is now available for sale. I talked about this course in a previous episode, and the announcement episode is still available if you want to listen to it. In brief, the course is about overcoming fears and the common mindset struggles that hold us back and keep us from pursuing our goals. If you want to know more, there's a link in the episode description that will take you to the sales page of the course, and you can learn all about the modules that the course has, everything it covers, and how you can enroll. It's only for $127, and it's followed by a free one-on-one session as well. Now, that brings me to the second update. My coaching calendar is now open, and based on your needs, you can book sessions for as long as a 3-month coaching relationship or take one-off intensive sessions that go on for 6 to 9 hours, totally up to you. You can also book for a consultation call, the price of which is adjusted into whatever type of coaching you choose post that call. So the link to the coaching page is again available in the episode description. The page will have all the details about my coaching style and what you can expect from our time together. Next, I want to share that I have started a Substack. I started it last week, so obviously there is not much to read yet, but I would still love for you to subscribe to it, because with this Substack, I have given myself the freedom to explore topics that matter to me, and I'm able to write in a way that's a lot freer and the content is deeper. Now, speaking of freedom, I have officially quit Instagram. And Instagram and I have had a very on-off relationship, more off than on. And initially, when IG was more about the captions, I think I enjoyed it, sort of. But now that it's mostly about the video, it no longer appeals to me. I know some people have the talent of sharing really meaningful, helpful content in 30 seconds. I'm not one of those people. So I've given up on that form of video, but I have resumed my LinkedIn account. I've taken it out of hibernation. So that's one platform where I am available. And again, the link is in the episode description. Now, coming back to today's episode, I want to talk about living thoughtfully, making better choices, and not moving through life like an automaton. So last year, I started writing for Mindbody Green. I have contributed a few pieces to the publication, but the reason that I said yes to that first piece that was offered to me was because I wanted to establish my brand. I wanted to get my name out there, as most coaches do. So you write for a lot of reputed publications, and that earns you some trust. And Mindbody Green is, of course, an awesome publication. So I was thrilled to be writing for them. And a friend of mine who really loves my writing suggested that I keep doing it. I keep writing for different publications and turn it into another source of income. But right away, I completely rejected the idea. I told my friend that I will only do a couple of stories because I'm not at all interested in being a freelance writer. I'm going to do my podcast and my coaching work, and that's all I want to focus on. But then I started working on that very first story that MBG gave me, and it completely changed things for me. Now, I've been writing for a while. In fact, I've been writing pretty much my whole life. So it doesn't take me long to produce a piece of content. But with this article, I had to be very careful because obviously I was writing for someone else for a whole other publication. So the article had to be written in keeping with the publication's style and tone. So I did it very carefully. The research was more intense. I sat with the words for a lot longer and more consciously, if that makes sense. So after a very, very long time, I was trying to look at a piece of writing through the eyes of my readers. So it was a slow, mindful, careful, very considered journey. And I loved it. I so thoroughly enjoyed the whole process. And it felt like a shock to my system. Because till I finished writing that piece, I hadn't even realized how mechanical writing, which used to be such a huge passion in my life, how mechanical that whole activity had become. But writing that piece reminded me why I love writing so much. Writing had become a part of my daily routine, producing blog posts, newsletters, social media content. I had basically jumped onto this treadmill and put up some goals in front of myself, and I was mindlessly pursuing those goals, mindlessly churning out content after content. I was writing, but there was no joy there, which now that I think about it, feels so crazy to me. So writing that article for MBG, it woke me up to the absence of that joy in my writing, which led to a few other epiphanies. The first one was just how much I hated Instagram. It led to me quitting Instagram. And, you know, as I already shared with you, I have never really enjoyed IG all that much. But at least initially, when I started doing IG, I had good results from the time I put into the platform. I got offered some really good collaborations. I had good engagement. I loved writing the captions. That I have to say, I really did enjoy writing those captions. I had great engagement, I had great offers, I got a lot of lovely DMs, but I took a break. I went away for like a whole year. I was completely absent from Instagram. And when I got back to the platform after a year's absence, things had completely changed. Reels were dominating the platform by that time. And I had completely lost the audience that I had built. I started putting out content, but I was getting no traction. And in the last 2 years, I think considering the amount of time I've poured into it, I've got like the ROI has been crazy low. So why did I keep doing it? Because it had become this accepted part of that machinery that was running my business. Considering how massive my to-do list is on a daily basis, I really, really should have stopped investing my time into Instagram. But I didn't. It goes to show how we can all latch onto routines and get into a rhythm of things and just never think about what we are doing if our bigger goals are getting done, which was the case with me. Writing that piece for MBG, it reminded me of why I love writing so much and that joy, that intensity had been absent for a very long time. I was creating content that didn't feel like my own, that didn't feel very good. And I just never questioned that. You know, routines are wonderfully supportive for a peaceful, productive life. And there's no doubt that we need routine. But they're also addictive, especially for those of us who have a lot to achieve and not nearly enough time. So we keep on keeping on. When we wake up in the morning, our progress from our bed to the sink in the bathroom with a toothbrush and toothpaste on it will always be mechanical because you do it on muscle memory. You do it robotically, mechanically. It's so much a part of your routine that you don't have to think about it. The alarm goes off, you get out of bed and you go make your way to the sink. And you don't even realize before you're there and you've already reached for your brush and you are cleaning your teeth. But that's not how we should be living our whole life. You start with the little things, you make them a part of your routine, and they become mechanical, they become second nature to you. And very soon that mechanical attitude, it seeps into the rest of your day. The progression is so easy going from one task to another that you really don't have to think about it. You don't have to expend that mental energy. But even machines get upgraded. Their design is upgraded to be more innovative. But once we humans latch onto a rhythm, to a way of things, it is so hard to let go. Re-engaging with writing, it reminded me of the joy that thoughtful, engaged work can bring. It made me leave Instagram. I resumed my one-on-one coaching work, something else that I had stopped doing. I launched a new Substack. I also reevaluated a lot of things in my personal life, and I ended up terminating my relationships with two people who have been in my life forever, basically. And they have done nothing but hurt me. But I was so used to their brand of nonsense that I never considered that, hey, maybe I should just boot these people out of my life. I am still processing my culpability, or maybe that's too strong a word, in why my precious, very, very precious time was going into these pointless endeavors, and why I wasn't doing more of what is rewarding on all fronts, like writing, but doing it in a way that actually feels good to me. And writing, it's not only good for my soul, it's financially rewarding work. So why wasn't I doing it? And it's not as if I don't do daily reflections. I spend the first 2 to 3 hours of my morning doing yoga, meditation, prayers, and journaling every single day. And yet I missed it. Now, I've checked with other people. I did online research around this. And as it turns out, a lot of us have such experiences. We have ideas, epiphanies, growth waiting to happen, sitting right there in a corner of our mind, waiting to be noticed, but it just doesn't get any consideration because we are too busy flowing from task to task on that damn to-do list. Even the morning yoga, the prayer, the meditation, it becomes a part of your routine. And after a while, it's done pretty mechanically without needing much thought. It's thoughtful work, but it's done thoughtlessly. And life will always inevitably fall into routines, but you know, there are ways to keep the joy alive and feel it very keenly every day. And that is what I've been thinking about a lot for the past few months. And that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. How do we keep things fresh, and how do we continue to be present throughout life and not get sucked into that whirlpool where shit gets done, but with very little conscious thought? And you are never given that opportunity to see into your soul and figure out what it is that will really nurture you, and whether the things that you are doing every day have the same level of satisfaction to them or not. Because we really should not reduce life to a list of chores. So I'm going to share with you my recommendations, the recommendations that I have for myself and for anyone else who can relate to what I've shared up to this point. Or maybe if you simply want a more meaningful life where you are consciously investing your time into things that are rewarding, nurturing, and supportive, and not mindlessly following some list. So let's talk about what those things are. The first learning is to every now and then get off the metaphorical treadmill. Press pause on everything and take some time to just think. Think without any to-do list or goals or other people's needs cluttering up that time. Bill Gates does something similar. Every year, he spends 7 days alone in a secluded cabin. He calls this time a think week. And in that space, away from everyone, he dedicates his time solely to reading, thinking, and taking notes. The week is all about solitude. And it also gives him a chance to process and digest the wealth of information he encounters in his daily life. So by stepping away from his regular routine and distractions, he is able to engage deeply with his thoughts. In fact, he has credited this strategy as something that has helped him develop new ideas and strategies. And if you think about it, you'll realize that this is a phenomenon that we all encounter in our daily lives. It's why when we are working on something, especially if it's creative, we keep getting stuck. But then when we are in the shower or doing the dishes, the words start flowing. The ideas come rushing in. Considering that, here's what I believe can be helpful, because not everybody can afford a think week, right? Not everybody has the time or the resource for it. What you can do instead is switch up your routine every once in a while. Of course, if you can afford to do it, get away from it all for a bit of time, like Bill Gates, beat a week or two. But if that's not possible, just switch up your routine. Do something out of the ordinary. I am choosing to have a free hour in the middle of my routine every day, and I'm choosing to do something unusual in that time that can snap me out of that go, go, go mindset. The second recommendation I would like to make here is that you embrace minimalism in all areas of life. One of the things I learned from Steve Jobs' biography, the book written by Walter Isaacson, is the importance of focus and precision in product curation. So Steve Jobs cut out any product that didn't significantly contribute to Apple's market presence, align with its ethos, or meet consumer needs effectively. So he would continually challenge his team and himself by asking critical questions about each product's relevance and potential impact. And this method of absolutely the most like ruthless prioritization, like he would scrap products that were almost done. He was ruthless about it. And this helped him ensure that only the most groundbreaking and essential products designed to perfection reached the market. Quality over quantity, my friend. Minimalism in all areas of life. It's why so many busy people wear the same thing every day. It frees up your time and mental space for what is more important. Now imagine if you can bring up the same attitude to every area of your life. Not just minimalism with your clothes or with your professional commitments, but also mental and psychological minimalism. If you've noticed something online, everyone has an opinion about everything. Everyone wants to participate in political discussions, comment on issues happening around the world. Is there going to be a World War III? And all of these are very, very emotionally provocative issues, which is why we jump onto these discussions even when they have no relevance to our life. When you think about any of these things, why did COVID happen? Is the world going to end? Have we caused irrevocable environmental damage? These discussions cause fear. They cause anger, even in the most insensitive people. They create a lot of emotional arousal in you, right? And trust me, I get why we want to talk about these issues. These are important issues, but a lot of it has no role in our life in the sense that we have no control over it and it is not directly impacting us. And for us to take a stand, whatever side we choose means absolutely nothing, frankly. If I decide to support one country over another in an ongoing war, nobody cares. I am not forming policies. People in power are not waiting to hear my opinion before they make their moves. So why am I investing so much of my emotional and mental space into all of this? Wanting to be informed and educated is good. It's really, really good. It's good to ask questions and form clear ideas about everything, but we have got to manage our responses and how much of ourselves we invest into these topics and discussions that follow. And unless it's serving a higher purpose, we have got to let a lot of this go. Mental minimalism is about prioritizing thoughts that are beneficial and aligned with our goals and values. It encourages discarding repetitive negative thoughts. Stop worrying about things you cannot control and clear up that mental clutter that takes away from your ability to focus and find joy in the present moment. At all times, we are being bombarded by an overwhelming amount of information, which creates a lot of decision fatigue. It leads to mental exhaustion. So mental minimalism is an excellent solution. It will allow your mind to recover and regain capacity for deeper thinking and creativity. You have a limited amount of time and energy. Please use it wisely. The next recommendation I want to make here is that you think and react slowly. Like how you savor that first sip of coffee in the morning. Learn to appreciate the benefits and richness of deliberate, deep thought. Our attention spans are down to, 19 seconds? 9 seconds? I don't know. It's crazy low. And it's because of just how much we try to achieve each day and the amount of screen time we get. Our thoughts have become really disjointed. We are overly stimulated and highly reactive. But I'm telling you, if you can mellow down your energy and slow down the pace of everything, life will feel and actually be better. Stop giving into the pressures that all of us so constantly experience. Learn to breathe. Make slow, deep breathing your default setting, not something that only happens in a yoga or meditation session. Allow your thoughts to marinate. If you can slow down and take your time with each experience, input, interaction, you will be able to refine your thinking process, operate with a larger reserve of energy and information. Your responses will also be more impactful and efficient. And you can do this, and this is another recommendation that I would like to make here, is by, you can do all of this by reducing the amount of time you spend on activities that overstimulate your mind. The next recommendation I want to make here is that you please align your actions with your values. Set priorities that resonate with the core of your being. Don't let your ego get too much of a say in how you live your life. There's a lot of external noise in all of our lives, and there is just so many options available to us when we are making choices that it's very, very easy to lose sight of what truly, truly matters to us. But value-driven priorities, they act as a compass. They will guide you out of that fog of daily distractions, and they will always, always lead you to a more fulfilling life. So for that to happen, you have to know what your values are, and you have to accordingly pick your priorities. You know, there is this one thought that really dominates my life, and it's a little nihilistic, but the way I look at it is positive. And I've read this idea in a lot of scriptures and books. So it's about how everything will eventually get wiped out. You know, we talk about becoming immortal, but one day, and no matter how far in the future it's going to be, we'll all of us will be gone. There is no point to creating legacies, wanting to earn fame so that you're remembered. You won't be. Eventually, you will be forgotten. What you build will be gone. So if you must focus somewhere, focus on how you feel and how you make others feel, because those emotions, they become a part of you. If you must obsess over how you're represented in the world out there, pick something worthwhile, not your bank account or your subscriber count, but again, how you make someone feel about themselves and their place in the world. Be a decent human being, and everything, I really believe that everything else will fall in place. So ask yourself what matters to you, what values you want to embody, and accordingly shift your priorities. And don't just ask these questions on New Year's Eve or only on your birthday or when you have major life experiences. No, ask yourself these questions constantly. And if you do that, even if you follow a routine every day, you'll find that you're never just going through the motions. Instead, you're on a path of meaningful progress that aligns with your deepest values. So keep switching up your routine, keep reevaluating your priorities, keep talking to yourself, keep your soul and what nurtures it front and center. Good luck. Well, what do you know? We've reached the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining me today, for supporting the podcast, and for sharing your time with me. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to the show on whatever podcast platform you love. You can also watch the video version of the interviews and most of the solo episodes on my YouTube channel. Link is in the episode description. Now, if you made it this far, you must love the content at least a little bit, or maybe you just like hanging out with me, or there was something in this particular episode that resonated with you. Or maybe it's all of those things. I would love to know. So if you've got a minute, it will be great if you can drop a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can send me your thoughts on the show via email. Now, if you want content that goes deeper than even the podcast does, with a lot of real life stories, one-on-one interactions, or just become part of my tribe, subscribe to my weekly newsletter. The link is in the episode description. Once again, thank you so, so much for sharing your time with me. Take care, and I will be back soon with the next episode.